This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Within the next few years, and let me ask you this. How many have saved the letters that you received through the years? Okay. Go back and get December 6th, 2005, and read that letter. Now, I don't know if it's online or not. I couldn't tell you. But I talked about the coming fall of the dollar. And right before our very eyes, in the prosperity that we are seeing, the dollar is falling. And the Iraq War and other expenses are contributing to it greatly. And we are at a point that within the next few years, we are going to have economic shock. And it is going to be devastating. Now, if you are online, let me suggest you do this. You go online and do a Google search on Argentina and economics. Argentina, their peso collapsed because it was tagged to the dollar. And the ones out there that caused the problems are the money speculators, the money exchangers. And right now, you will see the dollar is going lower and lower because the euro, the pound, the yen are going up. And China is sitting there with over $1 trillion U.S. dollars in reserve. And they're not too anxious to take too many more. But they're kind of stuck. What do you do with all these T-bills? What do you do with the surplus of payments that they receive because America has an insatiable appetite for cheap goods? And China has an insatiable appetite to develop and make them. So we're kind of willing but unwilling and struggling partners in this sea. But a day of reckoning is coming. And they have already planned for it. And it's going to affect every one of us because, you see, God is not going to cause Israel to fall instantly. It's going to come in stages. Just like with the invasions of the Assyrians in the northern kingdom, there were what, three invasions, four? Something like that. Same way with the Babylonians and the southern kingdom. There were three invasions. There is going to be problems and difficulties that are going to happen. Now, let me read to you here in Deuteronomy 28. Let me read to you something that we've covered before, but this is something that we need to watch because it is continually happening. So if you are involved in any kind of money transactions, and also let me suggest that if you have money in the bank, you might consider other serious alternatives. Now, here's what we have, Deuteronomy 28. And because we are so in debt, government, individuals, corporations, businesses, so in debt that there is inflation. Now, the government tries to tell you there's not inflation. But when you go to buy anything, the price is way up. But, of course, that's just your imagination. Up to 1982, the United States was the leading lender in the world according to the blessing that God gave to Israel, that you'll lend to many and not borrow. But if you turn your back on God, you are going to become a debtor. Now let's read it right here. Verse 42. We've covered this before, but I want to emphasize this again because a day of reckoning has already been prepared for by the government. So if there's nothing else you can do, minimize your debt as much as you can. Very prudent. Verse 43. The stranger that is within you shall get up high above you. That takes stages. We are now at a tipping point in this prophecy. And we're at the tipping point where that the stranger is going to begin taking over. Now in California, we can see that. And Los Angeles is going to be the capital of Mazatlan. Is that what I understand correct? Okay. Mazatlan. Recaptured Mexican territory. Okay. Get up above you very high. Now, have you ever experienced this? You call the city government or the county government for something, or the state government for something, and you get someone who cannot speak English. Okay. They're going to get up higher. Now, very high does not tell us how high, but we'll see, maybe get an inkling of it, and you shall be brought down very low. Now, another one to look at is not only Argentina, but also South Africa. When South Africa was turned over to Mandela, now we've had brethren down there and I've talked to them, they were subjected to the barbarians. Their postal service is virtually kaput. The natives run everything. And it's all going downhill. If they want a house that Anglo-Saxons have, they take it. If they want to break into steel, they break into steel. So South Africa was the first nation of Israel to suffer from this situation. But they are still going along, aren't they? Now, when this happens, we will still be here. The end is not here yet. We will still go along. But let me tell you what's going to happen here. Verse 44, he will lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And when God's blessing was with us, it was the reverse. Now, let me read to you from Business Week. October 20th, 2006, what the election cannot change. Global forces have taken control of the economy. Global forces that have taken control of the economy and government, regardless of party, has less influence than ever. Sometime next year, perhaps around Christmas 2007, if the trends continue, the U.S. will hit a milestone. The first time in recent memory, the cost of imported goods and services will exceed federal revenues. In other words, Americans will soon pay more to foreigners than they do to their national government. Now, you want to know why the stock market is hitting record highs? Not because there are lots and lots of Americans investing, it's because the foreigners with these dollars do not like to get a 4% or less return on their money from T-bills, so they're investing in companies. They are buying real assets. And that's what was behind, remember the big flap last summer about the United Arab Emirates? They've got all these, hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars just sitting there, and they don't know what to do with them. So they said, aha, we'll buy this corporation where we can make some money. They could realize 12% by running the corporation that took care of those ports that they were going to buy. But the Americans rose up and said, oh, no, you don't. Well, they will remember that one day. They will remember that. We're almost there now. Imports cost us about $2.2 trillion a year. The federal government collects $2.4 trillion in revenues. Now, that boggles my mind. I can't wrap my mind around that. I can't even, you know, get past the zeros. You know, someone asked a billionaire because he did everything in his head. Ask him, well, how do you do it? No, I just drop off the zeros. Okay? Now, why is this important? Because for the past 70 years, Washington has been the 800-pound gorilla more powerful by far than any other force in the U.S. economy. That's not true anymore. The federal government remains plenty influential, but the global economy is more so. Then it says Nancy Pelosi is in for a rude shock. The things that the government has done and will do will not cause the economy to change that much. The broad-based, and also concerning income. The broad-based drop in incomes has been driven downward by the rise of China and India and the intensification of global competition. Now, I recently renewed my one of my Visa cards. And so you have to call, you know, it says dial this number and call to renew it. The call went to India. And I said, and I knew it was India, but I said, where are you? He says, I'm in India. I said, well, why don't they do it in the United States? You know, I'm in the United States. He says, well, Visa's a worldwide card, and we're part of a worldwide business. So I just kept my mouth shut and gave them the information. I hope they don't steal it. Okay? So there's little that the politics can do for that. Globalization has overwhelmed Washington's ability to control the economy. As recently as 10 years ago, the U.S. economy was still relatively self-contained. That has changed. Since 1995, imports have risen from 12% of gross domestic product to about 17%. Foreign money finances about 32% of the domestic investment then, up from 7%, no, 32% now, up from 7% in 1995. Now, what does that mean, foreign investment? Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, who controls 90% of the mortgages for homes and businesses in the United States, they get these loans and they package them and they sell them to foreign investors. So if you've had a loan recently, it's probably owned by a company in China or in Japan. And if there's a global collapse, maybe they'll come and try repossessing these houses. Just to give you an example of what has happened to the housing market in Hollister. In August, a home sold for $660,000. Today, it is $529,000. Now, that's 4 months. So if a person bought a house and they had 100% financing on $660,000, they now owe more than what the house is worth. There's going to be a lot of that repeated. In other words, the U.S. is more open to the global economy than ever before, and links run in both directions, Now, many of the levers affecting the U.S. economy are located not in Washington, but in Beijing, London, and even Mexico City. President Bush encountered a similar problem. His huge tax cuts poured hundreds of billions into the economy, and kept output rising at a decent clip. Nevertheless, the fiscal stimulus generated far fewer jobs than anyone expected as more and more production headed overseas. That's what's going to happen. How's that going to, it's going to affect our pocketbooks in a dramatic way in the next few years. Let me read just a little bit more. But in the brave new world of global economy where companies move factories and facilities around the world like game pieces, it's no longer a given that the U.S. worker benefits directly from U.S.-funded research abroad. Our worrisome example, despite the federal outlays of over $125 billion for medical research over the past 5 years, the U.S. has a large and growing trade deficit in advanced biotechnology and medical goods. Washington is far less relevant than it used to be. And get this, we don't even know how to measure whether we as a country are succeeding or failing. Now that's something. And it talks a little bit about the stock market. Let me just get a couple more quotes here. Finally, the big idea, probably too big to even consider right now, would be the creation of global institutions for governing the world economy. Well, think about that. Now, I'm going to bring another sermon on global currency, which will blow your mind. But that's where it's headed. Robert E. Rubin said, "There's no policy mechanism for bringing together the countries that really matter in the global economy. The best solution would be some sort of global central bank with real powers. But that's not going to happen until there is a big enough financial crisis to truly scare people." Now, what will that be? Any guesses? No, not foreign ownership. When the foreign countries no longer purchase T-bills. All right, let's see what the Bible says, prophesies about our gold and silver. Now today, as I've mentioned in a tape recently, we don't have money. We only have funds. Digital amount in a bank, or on a credit card, credit that they give you. They've created for whatever the amount of credit that you have on your credit card, they've created it out of thin air. They look at your credit score and say, okay, we'll give you 20,000 credit on this credit card. They just instantly created the equivalent of $20,000 in funds. And remember, if you have a check bounce, they don't say you're out of money, they say you have insufficient funds. Okay? Now let's come to Isaiah, the first chapter. Now we've done it to ourselves, and the federal government has done it to us. Now going along hand in hand with the debasing of the U.S. dollar has been the debasing of the moral values of America, because they go hand in hand. Let's pick it up here, Isaiah 1 and verse 21. How's the faithful city become a harlot? You can put in your margin there, Ezekiel 16 and Ezekiel 23. We go out and buy our lovers. Give them money. We have troops in 140 countries around the world. Amazing, isn't it? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers, your silver has become dross. Your wine is mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious, and companions of thieves, everyone loves a gift. Now, there is a perfect description of Congress. You can fill in the names. And it's been that way for a long time. And follow after rewards. Now, what is the biggest compulsive thing in following after rewards that the average citizen in America is after today? The lotto. Gambling. Gambling is a $300 billion industry in America. And that is just taking money from people. See? They judge not the fatherless, neither the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, the mighty God of Israel, ah, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. And I will turn my hand upon you and purely purge away your dross and will take away all your tin. Now come over here to chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 6. It also has to do with what we have done, especially the religious beliefs of the Protestants are now being Hinduized. They offer in local churches, in their recreational, many of their recreational things that they have, Christian yoga, which is the first step into the spirit world of the East. Now, verse 6, Isaiah 2. Therefore, you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are replenished from the East. Now, you can take that two ways. Religious and economic. Go to Walmart. Find something made in the genuine USA. Okay? And it's religiously too. Like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their trust is all, their hand is also full of horses. Their land, rather, is also full of horses. Neither is there any end to their chariots. And every time I drive on the freeways here, I think of that. No end. I drove in from Hemet, and it was an evening, and I came Highway 1 to 57, and I tell you, it was fast going because it wasn't bumper to bumper, but we were, you know, not too far distance apart, and we were all going 80 miles an hour, and I thought, wow, well, I'm glad I have on my seatbelt. You know, if you went 65, you'd get run over. You know, and here, all these cars, and then I thought as I was driving, it happens every time I come down here. How many millions of cars are going in the Los Angeles basin at one time? And how many millions of gallons of gas are being sucked up continuously? Their land is full of idols. They worship the work of their hands. Boy, don't we, all the trinkets and gadgets and things that we have? Yes. And that which their own fingers have made? Okay. Quite something here. Let's come over to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now, Mike and I went over this the other day, and we've got it down to where what the Hebrew really says. Chapter 3 and verse 4. I will give, now I'll read what it should read, young lads to be their princes and capricious children shall rule over them. In other words, they will have no standard for judging anything. Whatever they want to do, they'll do. And you can see that in the latest, what they're doing with eminent domain. We'll take it because we can get more taxes. You want to see capriciousness? Look at the case of the Duke players and Nifong, the prosecuting attorney. Just capricious in what he is doing. So it's going to really be a difficult problem for them. And it says, verse 5, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another. Now, this is going to be in degree. See? The child shall behave itself proudly against the ancient. I mean, they can't even put up with him in the same room. And the base against the honorable. Verse 9, the show of their countenance does witness against them that they declare their sin as Sodom. So just as we have a decline in the belief in God, decline in going by the teachings of the Bible, the rise of immoral sexual behavior, the rise of murders, the rise of kidnapping, the rise of all of these things coming all the time, it's in direct proportion to leaving God in the letter of the law. I'm not talking conversion. I'm talking as a nation letter of the law. All right. They hide it not. Woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Now, here's a little encouragement. Don't want you to get depressed. Verse 10. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. For God will watch over you, but we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So pray for this promise to be fulfilled in your life. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. And boy, when Hillary gets it, and Nancy Pelosi is Speaker of the House, she's third in line to succeed. You will have Hillary and Obama and Nancy Pelosi. Some of you are cringing. Be prepared. Oh, my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. This includes government, education, churches, and everything right on down the line. Now, I know David in his business, we've talked about this. It's so hard to get good people that can really think. You almost have to bring them in for a 2-week seminar on how to think. Yes. Yes. They have their minds so screwed up with iPod music blasting in their ears that they can't remember anything. All right. That's just a little aside. Let's go on. Let's come here to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8. Now, there are plenty of people who have been out there warning and warning that this is coming. Plenty of warning. There's an economic warning which comes from economic experts. God has made the knowledge known through them. There's a governmental warning that comes from people who are warning against the evils of government. And they are happening. And George Bush just signed an executive order that in case of a national emergency, he can call out the federal troops to be anywhere in the U.S. It is happening in religion and the churches. I've got an article here, The Church That Was. talking about the decline of the Protestants that have declined 32% to 47%. That's why we need to get church at home going. I need to get the Bible Project and this book finished and then go full blast on church at home. Okay. Jeremiah 8. Let's pick it up here in verse 4. Now, let's go to, just a minute. Jeremiah 8 and verse 4. Yeah, that's it. Moreover, you shall say unto them, thus says the Lord, shall they fall and not rise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit and they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spoke not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Every worm turned to his own course, as the horse rushes into the battle. Yea, the stork is in the heaven knows her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. And my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How say you? We are wise. Most educated generation we've ever had. Well, we're wise. I'm so smart, I don't even believe in God, says the atheist. Huh? Well, let's see when his life is threatened if he's the first one to pray. And the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain he made it. He made it, but we don't need it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? So therefore, I will give their wives unto others. Is that happening? Yes, indeed. And their fields to them that shall inherit them. China could take all of its cash reserves and come into the United States and buy pay for cash, lock, stock, and barrel, the whole state of Kansas. All right? Everyone from the least of them unto the greatest is given to covetousness. They all want something, don't they? From the prophet even to the priest, every man deals falsely. And they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. So how is this going to happen? What is going to take place? Now remember, it's going to be in stages. Let's come to Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14, let's begin in verse 10. Now, unfortunately, we're rapidly approaching this point. Verse 10. Thus says the Lord unto this people. Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. And what I want you to do is just take this sermon, the words that you hear. I want you to look at the news this coming week. I want you to flick back and forth between all the news channels. And I want you to watch some of the financial channels as well. Look at the economic reports. They're telling us how good it is, but it's sitting there just like, you know, having a 2,000-ton truck sitting on 2 inches of ice. What are you going to do when it breaks? Thus says the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. For when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblation, I will not accept them. I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. What precedes that? We'll answer that here in just a minute. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword. We're going to have peace. You know, see, we'll have peace. The way we have peace is get out of Iraq. And all of the terrorists will be good boys immediately. Neither shall you have famine. I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. Now, prophets are not just religious prophets. Be anyone who does forecasting. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoke I to them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and a divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their hearts. Now, let's look at a couple of other things here and let's see what happened. Let's come here to the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea. Amazing what there is in the Bible. Book of Hosea, let's come to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Yeah, chapter 2, let's begin in verse 4. Okay, there comes a time for this where God says, I will not have mercy upon her children. For they are children of whoredoms. Now, what I want you to do, as bad as it may seem, if you have it on your channel, I want you to spend just a few minutes on MTV and see what is filling the minds of young people today. What is governing the way they think, the way they dress, the way they act, the music that they have, the way they treat their parents, the way they work on the job? Take a look. Think about that. If you have the book, The Marketing of Evil, go back and read that again. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up their way with thorns, and make a wall, and she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, and she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me. They're going to try and come back to God, but if they say, well, we're going to return to God, they want to come back their way. And God says, no, I'm not going to have any more of the days of Balaam. Now, chapter 7. Okay? Let's fast forward and turn to the other side, please. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. Verse 4. They're all adulterers. As an oven heated by the baker, who ceases from raising after he has kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. And of course, that's spiritual. You can read a lot of spiritual things in there. He stretched out his hand with scorners. They have made ready their heart like an oven, while they lie in wait. Their baker sleeps all the night, and in the morning it burns as a flaming fire. They're all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges, and all their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calls unto me. Now that's just describing the nature of Joseph and Ephraim in the terms of baking bread. Notice what it says here. Defines it a little bit more. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is like a cake not turned. Now, have you ever had pancakes and you forgot to turn it? Burns on one side and all the bubbles are broken on the other. Okay, that's what it's describing here. Now notice, verse 9 is very important. Strangers have devoured his strength. Now think of that relationship to Britain. They used to have the mightiest fleet in the world. And were so powerful that all the other navies dipped their colors to the Union Jack. Now they are going to sell the bulk part of the last of their fleet of 46 military vessels. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knew it not. Now, wasn't there recently something put out by Tony Blair? Our values and their values? Yes. And you can probably look it up on the internet with a Google search. And he was saying, we're shocked to see that all of these Muslims will not assimilate. Now look, if you want to be a limey, you better take our standards or leave. Now he said that because he's soon leaving office. Even the Netherlands Justice of Minister said, well, if we come to a majority of Muslims and they have Sharia law, then it will be the law of Netherlands. So when I read this, it applies, you know, to all Israel. Think about what's happening in America. And I'm going to show you what's going to happen economically and immigration-wise here in just a bit. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knows it not. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim is also like a silly dove without heart. Notice all the silly statements coming from some of the writers out of England. Especially concerning the terrorist thing and the Muslims. It's amazing. And Americans. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them, I will bring them down as the fowl of heaven, and I will chasten them as their congregation has heard. So it's going to be a warning. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction upon them because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me. They have not cried unto me with their hearts. When they howled upon their beds, apparently in mourning for the things that they were doing, they assembled themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. They imagine mischief. They return not to the Lord. Now let's see what's going to happen here. Okay. First thing that's going to hit is economic devastation because of the dollar. They know it's coming. And there is a plan to replace the dollar with what is called the Amero. Amero, A-M-E-R-O. Now, not only have strangers come in to devour the United States, Canada, and Mexico will cease to be sovereign nations as we have known them. Here's what they have proposed. And this was done by President George Bush, by the Premier of Canada, and by Vicente Fox of Mexico at a meeting in Waco in 2005, March 2005. The idea to form the North American Union. Now think about what this is going to mean. As a super NAFTA, knitting together Canada, the United States, and Mexico into a super regional political and economic entity was the key agreement resulting from a March 2005 meeting held at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, between President Bush, President Fox, and Prime Minister Martin. A joint statement published by the three presidents, and I have it here. I'll give you the website. You can go get all the details. I think this is going to astound you when I read some of the excerpts here. It is called the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. You can go on the U.S. government site and look up the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. They've got it all right there. Have you heard of this before? Is it? Some of you have? Okay. It's coming. It's coming. The joint statement termed the SPP a trilateral partnership was aimed at producing a North America security plan. Of course, it's all for our good. See, it's good for us that they take away our rights. It's good for us that they debase the dollar. So they tell us. Of course, it's not good for us. So then they describe the working agenda. Now, guess where this plan originated probably quite a few years ago. And it was put together by the CFR Task Force. How many here have studied about the CFR? It's true. Not a matter of being a conspiracy buff. It's true. CFR, Trilateralists, Bilderbergers, all of the establishment elite. Now there's a man whose name was whose name is Pastor. I can't get his first name here, but Pastor was vice chairman of the CFR task force that produced the report Building a North American Union. Pastor also proposed the creation of a permanent tribunal on trade and investment with the view that a permanent court would permit the accumulation of precedent and lay the groundwork for North American business law. Now, what does that do then? Anybody, any student of law. When you have a treaty that is sanctioned by sovereign states, it is what? It is binding as law and supersedes the Constitution. The intent is for this North American Union Tribunal would have supremacy over the U.S. Supreme Court on issues affecting the North American Union. Now, that's a broad statement, and that means any law they decided to override, any law in America, would be binding. Now, as I'm reading this, I want you to think about why Congress and the president have not acted upon immigration problems, because they know this is coming down. And each party is vying for the Latino vote in America once they give amnesty to all the illegals. And in order for the stranger to come high above us, they're going to have to do that. See, they've gotten themselves in a position that there's no other alternative to do it. What are you going to do? Round them all up and send them back to Mexico and El Salvador and, you know, to back to Iraq and Iran, wherever they've come from? China, Vietnam, whatever? To prevent the U.S. power from irritating and retarding the progress of uniting Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. into a new 21st century super-regional governing body. Amazing. I'll give you the source. If you're online, you can look it up. Okay, it comes from funnymoneyreport.com. funnymoneyreport.com/article_view.php. Okay, that'll probably get it there. There's probably a whole lot there. Okay? Oh, here's his first name. Robert Pastor. Also advises the creation of a North American parliamentary group. Do away with the Congress, Senate, and House of Representatives. Well, they wouldn't do away with them. They would make them subordinate. Make them ineffective. They would assure the American people, we're not going to do away with it. But they won't tell you, we'll make them ineffective. He also called for the creation of a North American Customs and Immigration Authority and Service, which would have authority over U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, within the Department of Homeland Security. Pastor's book. Here's his book. See if you can get it if you want to read it. Toward a North American Community. Toward a North American Community. Called for the creation of a North American Union that would perfect the defects Pastor believes limit the progress of the European Union. Pastor's thinking appears aimed at limiting the power and sovereignty of the United States, and that's what the establishment elite called the social progressives have wanted to do for the last 50 years, and now the goal is in sight. And that's how the stranger will come over us and we will be brought down low. We will be brought down low legally. I mean, that's something. And it's just around the corner. Much of Pastor's thinking appears to aim at limiting the power and sovereignty of the United States as we enter this super-regional entity. Pastor also called for the creation of a new currency, which he has coined the Amero. Now, they're already preparing for it. Have you noticed how more colorful the U.S. currency is becoming? If you have a brand new $20 bill, you've got more blue on the front side and yellow on the back side. They're gradually preparing for it. A currency that is proposed to replace the U.S. dollar, the Canadian dollar, and the American peso. If President Bush had run openly in 2004 on the proposition that the prime objective of his second term was to form the North American Union, I don't think he will do it. But it wouldn't surprise me if Hillary did not implement it. Because she's an internationalist from way back. And that to supplant the dollar with the Amero. Says we doubt very much that if he would have been elected, he wouldn't have carried the red states nor Ohio. Let me read some of the goals. Implement common border security and bioprotection strategies. Enhance critical infrastructure protection and implement a common approach to emergency response. And build a highway from South Texas to the Canadian border, 10-lane wide. It's going to be a mile and a half from where Rochelle and Chad live. That's my daughter and her husband in Temple, Texas. Implement improvements in aviation, maritime security, combat transnational threats. In other words, going to have an integrated army. And intelligent and enhance intelligent partnerships. And implement a border facilitation strategy to build capacity and improve the legitimate flow of people and cargoes across our shared borders. Advancing our common prosperity, we will work to enhance North American competitiveness and improve the quality of the life of our peoples. That means to reduce ours. Among the other things we will do is we will improve productivity through regulatory cooperation to generate growth while maintaining high standards for health and safety, promote sectorial collaboration in energy, transportation, financial services, technology, and others to facilitate business and invest in our people. Reduce the cost of trade through effective movement of goods and people and enhance the power of the preservation of our environment. Create a safer, more reliable food supply while facilitating agricultural trade, protect our people from disease. Here's an article. Here comes the Amaro. The story of the past couple of weeks has been the meltdown of the U.S. currency. Now, what they have done, and I'll just tell you what they've already done, they have suppressed the price of gold to try and discourage people from buying. Now, if you're smart, you'll buy. Now, one of the things that instituted the war in Iraq, which most people don't understand, is this. Saddam Hussein was going to change the way that he used currency for paying for his oil. He was going to switch out of U.S. dollars into euros. See, now the truth is the euro is not quite strong enough to really handle it yet. Now, I think that all of the oil-producing countries in the Middle East are going to get smart. They're going to get together. They're soon going to get tired of killing each other, regardless of what the Sunni and the Shia are doing in Iraq. And they're going to say, let's wise up. Let's have our own economic union. And let's have the dinero. And let's make all the nations of the world who buy oil from us reckon the price of oil in dinero. And we will protect our wealth. Comment was made that the Arabs are indeed doing that, and the Russians are doing it with the ruble. Okay, those that are in oil are buying the dinar. That's wise at this point, by all means. Your dollars, when they bring in the euro, it's going to be just like when Argentina fell here, and it fell twice. Now, we will recover, but it's going to be a big shock when the Amaro comes in. Okay, it says here, the Federal Reserve Note Index has fallen to 82.42 as of Friday. That is, this was a 2006. This was December 3rd, 2006 report. Now, let me just summarize a couple of things here. If it gets down to 80, then the Federal Reserve will have to intervene. But you see, because of all of the foreign currencies and the foreign pressures, to intervene to try and save the dollar is going to be a tremendous undertaking, and they won't be able to succeed because there is so much debt. So they're going to have to go. And I also heard one other thing, that the Federal Reserve is going to take their name off the American currency so they can't be sued. Okay? I mean, we're talking a few years down the road, very serious stuff happening is going to affect every one of us. This is not fairy tale. This is not dreaming stuff. Okay? There is no question that we could very well be on the brink of a major slide in the value of Federal Reserve notes. One of the reasons I believe why I believe this to be true is because the mainstream media are now introducing the public to the idea of a new currency called the Amero. The Amero is a proposed fiat currency that will emerge and replace the Canadian, U.S., and Mexican currencies as all three countries are merged into a North American Union, even though the idea of a North American Union and the Amero has been talked about for quite some time. There are still people who believe that these are conspiracy theories. For any skeptics, let me assure you that the possibility of a North American Union and Amero currency is very real. You can also get this on WorldNet Daily. London stock trader urges to move to the euro. Now, what are they going to do? Now, how many have seen any of the historical reports about the inflation in Germany before Hitler took over? Okay. I don't think they're going to let it get to that point, but I want you to think very seriously about your own economic situation. Think of this. When the Amero comes in, what will be the trade-in equivalency? Now think about this. If you have $10,000 in the bank, if it comes in at 1 euro, one Amero for $2, then you will have $5,000 in your bank. If it comes in 1 to 200, your $10,000 will be $200 or 200 Ameros. The question is, what are they going to do about debt? Will they also reduce debt equivalent to it? I do not know what they're going to do about debt. But I know that when it happened in Argentina, they still had to pay back their debt with the new replaced currency that was, 50 to 1? So that means you actually owe 50 times more than you really did. See? So I don't know how all of these things shape out, but I tell you what, it is going to happen, and they'll probably do it over, as they always have, over a long weekend, right? So you need to sit down and think about it. I am not your financial advisor, so I'm not going to tell you what to do. It is whatever money you have is your own. You're going to have to figure out what to do. Okay, let's come to Hosea, the 8th chapter. Set the trumpet to your mouth. Give warning. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and have trespassed my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know you. Israel has cast off the thing that is good, and the enemy shall pursue him. They've set up kings, but not by me. They've made princes, and I knew it not. And of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. And then it talks about the sins that they have done, and all the things that will come upon them because of it. Now, let's come here to chapter 13. Hosea 13. Now, even in all of this, notice what God says. Verse 9, Hosea 13. O Israel, you have destroyed yourself. Now, could it be that there will be more people repent and turn to God when this happens than at any time in recent history. Could be. Could be. But in me is your help. Let's come to chapter 14 and verse 1. Hosea 14 and verse 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord your God. Now see, this ties in with what I brought this morning, doesn't it? For you have fallen by your iniquity. Take with your words and turn unto the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, and we will render the calves of our lips or the honor or worship or praise of it. Now let's come to Amos 4. Now you can read the whole chapter, but we'll pick it up here in verse 9. Now at the same time, think about all the things that God is going to bring upon us. Think about all the natural so-called disasters. Think about all of the terrible things that have happened. Now let's, verse 9, Amos 4. I've smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured it, yet you have not returned unto me, says the Lord. I've sent among you pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I have slain with the sword, and I have taken away your horses. I made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet you have not returned unto me, says the Lord. I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, is that a prophecy of a nuclear dirty bomb? I don't know. Sounds pretty close to it to me. And you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet you have not returned unto me, says the Lord. Therefore, I will do unto you, O Israel, because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. So that's something. I mean, think about what it's going to be. That's why, by all means, get out of debt as much as you can. Now, we'll finish with this. God always gives encouragement when it comes down to death and destruction and so forth. Let's come to Isaiah 26 and let's see that God gives hope and he gives promise. And when this happens, we'll survive it. The nation will survive it. We'll have to go through a severe economic downturn. We'll have to go through economic hard times. When that happens, it's going to be hard on everybody. Now, Isaiah 26, let's begin here in verse 1. Here's the whole lesson when it's all over and done with. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. So see, for the end result of this is going to be the saving of Israel as a people and the saving of the church to lead them in the right way. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. That's when we take over the governments of this world. Then you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now we'll close here with Psalm 91. Because I don't want you to go home and be worried and be fretful and be fearful. I want you to think, ask God for wisdom, ask God for help, ask God for strength. Psalm 91. And every time there's a disaster, it's an opportunity that God gives for people to repent. Now, claim this whole psalm as a promise of God in terrible and distressing times. Now, verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, what does that mean? What is the secret place of the Almighty or the Most High? That is God's Spirit and God's protection with His angels. The rest of the world can't see it. Therefore, it's a secret to them. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. That's where it has to be. Now here's the promise. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, that is one coming after you to get you, and from the noisome pestilence. You take care of yourself, watch your health, pestilence is not going to affect you, and His protection with you. He shall cover you with His feathers. And under His wing shall you trust. God's protection is there. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, because when the economic collapse comes, there are going to be gangs running around. They're going to be coming after people, coming after things, trying to steal, trying to loot, trying to take food, trying to take whatever they can get. And believe me, the stranger is here, they have the guns, they have the ability, they have the capacity to do it, and they will do it. We need God's protection when that happens. Nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That doesn't mean you're going to sit there in riches and wealth, and all the rest of the world is going to avoid it, you see. Another thing, too, keep a low economic profile. No overt display of wealth. Only your eyes shall behold, and you shall see the reward of the wicked, because you have made, here it is, here's the key, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. Therefore shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. Now, when you pray, take this psalm. Pray about this. Ask God for wisdom, what you need to do. Ask God to give you strength of mind, strength of emotion, strength of resolve, that you can withstand the evil day. Because it will pass. And then yet another evil day in the next layer of punishment will come later. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. Now this is upon Christ, and Christ has set His love upon us. And the Father has set His love upon us. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, the long life that God is going to give us is eternal life. So, If you can get that letter I wrote, I think it was December 6, 2005. If you don't have it, let me know. We'll send it to you. But go online, check out all of these things yourself. I think you'll find all of them right there. There are plenty, plenty of warnings. But just think about the rest of the people in the United States that are so busy just going to and fro and doing this. And when it hits, bam, it's going to be something. The money is going to be wiped out. Amazing. They'll give you the Amaro. It'll take time for that to take hold and do things. And those who have lots of wealth will never recover to the status that they were before. And just all the penalty of having such a deceitful money and rampant debt everywhere. Well, I didn't mean to ruin your Sabbath. But it's better to have forewarning than to have backward warning. Yeah, and if I know about it now and I don't tell you, and if I don't tell you and it happens, and you're going to say, why didn't you tell me? Okay, I wonder what Joel Osteen is going to preach tomorrow. Joel Osteen. Only think good. Only be good. There is no evil. Okay. Well, we've had a long day. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, Waihi 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilroe, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.